on Sunday morning. We have been going through Corinthians, and the next chapter for this morning is Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 1 Corinthians 9. And there is so much of assembly order that Paul gives in this book, and also much practical teaching. It's wonderful to see what the Lord has provided, but also it's to be made practical and laid hold of. And so, well, we'll just begin with the 9th chapter here. And Paul begins by asking questions of the saints in Corinth that they really knew full well the answers. But you see, Paul is making a point. And he says, "Am I not an apostle?" Well, yes, he was, by divine appointment. We read in the very first chapter in verse 1 of this book, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. The next question, he says, "Am I free?" Yes, he's no longer under the law. Christ has made him free. And then the next question, "Have I not seen Jesus, our Lord?" Well, yes, on the road to Damascus. And then, "Are ye not my work in the Lord?" Oh, yes. These saints had come to Jesus under his ministry, and he established that assembly. So they certainly are his work in the Lord. Verse 2, "If I be an apostle unto others, doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this." So then the following verses, he tells or relates the rights and the privileges of an apostle. Verse 4, "Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles? And as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only, and Barnabas? Have we not power to forbear working?" So, as I said, he's bringing out a point to these saints in that assembly. And as a minister of the Word of God, he had a right to eat and drink, that life would be to sustain his life. And when it says a sister, a wife, it means a Christian wife. In other words, a sister in Christ. And a minister has the right to marry. And it doesn't have to be, but he has that right. And he had the right, as with other apostles, as the brethren of the Lord and of Christ's brethren. And lastly, he says, he and Barnabas have the right to forbear working. You know, we want to put this in a language that we all understand. In other words, the minister of the Word of God has the right to forbear working. Verse 7, he gives an illustration to back up his point he's making. "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? And who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or say not the law the same also?" So he has given these illustrations from nature to prove his point. And then he proceeds here to give proof from the Old Testament. Verse, starting with, I already read verse 8, he says, "Saith not the law the same also?" Now starting with verse 9, "For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope." Yes, God cares for the oxen that treads out the corn. And it is recorded, God had it recorded in the law for our learning. And this is a good illustration. He that plows or thresheth in hope should be partakers of his hope. Verse 11, "If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait on the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Do you notice those words? It was ordained of the Lord. The Lord ordained this, the support of ministers. And then, although Paul had this right and this privilege as an apostle, we note verse 12 that he says, "Nevertheless, we have not used this power." And we know that there was assemblies that did not support him, even though he established ministry there. But we read of some who did wonderfully gave. But he says, "We suffer all things for the sake of the gospel." Boy, how different from ministers today. A demand a salary and this and that. How different. Well, let's read verse 15 and 16. "For I have used none of these things." You see, he had the right. He had these privileges. But he says, "I have not used none of these things. Neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." He felt the necessity of it was upon him. He felt that, you know, considering the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave his life as a ransom for many. And we read in the scripture, he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. In fact, he said that of himself, that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. In other words, our Lord served at his own expense. And of course, his was the loftiest of priestly ministry. And Paul sought to be like Jesus. He served at his own expense. And we know that it's recorded that he had a way of making a living by making tents and he was a tent maker. And often he had to do that for to eat and drink. He served at his own expense. He preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ willingly, whether he was supported or not. That was the heart of the Apostle Paul, like Jesus, like Jesus. And, you know, the Lord supplies. You know, sometimes we may get to a place where we don't know where the funds are going to come from, but the Lord is faithful, and he always supplies for his own. Let's read verse 17. Paul says, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." Paul sought a reward, all right. And we could go to Philippians. Maybe we will later. Well, so should we. So should we. And it's 2 John. In 2 John, the 8th verse, it says, "Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." I like that verse because it says full reward. That's what we want, don't we? A full reward. And he says, a dispensation, and this means stewardship. A dispensation or stewardship of the gospel was committed to Paul, and he was faithful to that stewardship and to which he was called. And he was faithful. We want to be found faithful, don't we, when the Lord comes?
Yes.
We want to be found faithful. Jesus' words to the Smyrna assembly, and it's Jesus' words, in the second chapter of Revelation in verse 10, it says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." That's precious promise, precious. Verse 18, "What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." Yes. Here's a reason that he can say all this. He was wanting to gain souls for the Lord. And so he made himself servant unto all, he says, that he might win them to Christ. And the following verses tells us how he served others. I might say and add this, you will never hear begging for money from this pulpit and from this meeting or in our paper. The Lord is the supplier, and we just trust him, and he's always faithful. I can give that testimony. Thank the Lord that I can. So we're going to read these ways in which he made him servant of all, beginning with verse 20. "For unto the Jews I became as a Jew." Well, we know he was a Jew. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a Jew. He says that, but see, he's saying when he's preaching unto them, when he's speaking to them, he spoke to them on that level. And in fact, you consider the book of Acts, and when he was speaking to the Jews, he spoke from their scripture, from the Old Testament, to tell them about Christ. He says, "Unto the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jew. To them that are under the law, as under the law. That I might gain them that under the law. To them that are without law," and that's speaking of Gentiles, "as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. He does not boast here in his self-sacrifice for any glory to himself, but he's telling this, he wanted to win souls. Yes. And today, few ministers, I would even say, few are so unselfish, seeking only the good of others. Now, I'm not saying there isn't some, but there's few. This wholehearted service of others is for winning the prize. And that's what we're going to read of next. Verse 24. He uses the illustration of the Grecian contest that we know today as the Olympics. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? See his illustration here? And then he says, so run that ye may obtain. There's a prize to be won. So run that ye may obtain. The prize is not salvation. It is not getting to heaven, as some teach. For only believers are running this race. On a race course. We've been set upon a race course. But not all people, believers, I should say, are running to obtain the prize. Not all. You know, there's so many who they're just satisfied to be saved and they know they're going to heaven and they don't go any further. But what we find in Paul's epistles and in Peter, the Lord would have us to grow spiritually in the Lord and not to remain babes. We're all babes when we're first saved, but we don't want to remain babes. Now, in the natural, if a baby just stayed a baby and didn't grow, be sad, wouldn't it? The Lord would have us to grow spiritually. And he's speaking to an assembly that we have read earlier, that they have remained babes instead of growing. We read that in the earlier chapters here. But Lord, the Lord would have us to grow spiritually. There are some others who do run. They are on the race course and they do run. But what did we find in chapter 3? There are some who are building with the wrong material. And they're going to miss out on the prize. Our focus is on the prize. And the prize is Christ. Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Now, it says our faith, and that's true. He is the author and finisher of our faith, but he is the author and finisher of faith, period. Verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore, Paul says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, you know, just beating the air. No. He says in verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Well, I want to say before I comment on this last phrase here, everything, or maybe I should say anything, that would hinder our running should be put aside if we want to win the prize. Now, some have really misunderstood this last statement that Paul makes when he says when he's preached to others that I myself should be a castaway. That's why he keeps under his body and put in subjection. but, you know, he did not want to be disapproved. And that's what this word castaway, you have to look up these words in Strong's Concordance, or if you have other means besides Strong's Concordance, to find out that it means disapproved. And he's simply saying in these words, he made practical what he preached. Yes. Making practical what he preached. He wasn't just preaching words. It was real to him. And it was practical. He made it practical in his life. There is no possibility whatsoever that he could ever be lost. He had the life of Christ. That's everlasting. And that means just exactly what it says. Everlasting life. But there was a danger of him not winning the prize. So that's what he says. He preached to others. He kept under his body so he would not be disapproved. And of course, what is the prize? I've already mentioned. The prize is Christ. Philippians 3:8. Let's turn there. Philippians 3:8. The 8th verse of Philippians 3, Paul says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them as dung," or just refuge, "that I may win Christ." He's the prize. He is the ultimate reward. Amen. As bridegroom. Yeah. Yes. This verse also contains a necessary condition for winning that we read here. Keeping under his body, bringing it into subjection. Yes. May we be like-minded like Paul. Yeah. And he says in the 11th chapter, which we'll get to eventually, in the very first verse, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Yes. We don't follow him as a man, but he was the ordained apostle for this church age. And he says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Well, praise the Lord. We have finished another chapter. I thought to give a testimony concerning the ministry here, and then I thought, no, I don't think I will this morning. I've given it in the past, and we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Let's sing a song.